The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
A school board in Virginia is at the center of a firestorm. Parents demanding resignations after they say a sexual assault on campus was covered up. Now, it's a hot-button issue in the state's very tight governor's race. Here's Katie Beck.
You failed. You failed. You failed. You failed.
In Loudoun County, Virginia last night, parents reach a boiling point. Once again, school board members facing the heat.
Resign or be removed.
Many parents demanding new leadership after they say a sexual assault at a county school was covered up by administrators to advance a transgender bathroom policy.
All of you must go, and we will take back our schools.
A judge finding this week a 14-year-old male student guilty on two counts of sexual assault. Officials saying he wore a skirt, entered a girl's bathroom, and assaulted a 15-year-old female student back in May. He was later accused of assaulting another student at another school in October. School leaders say they notified authorities of both allegations immediately, though at a June meeting, the superintendent saying this.
Do we have assaults in our bathrooms or our locker rooms?
To my knowledge, we don't have any records of assaults occurring in our restrooms.
Angry parents calling that a lie after the release of an internal email sent from the superintendent to school board members in May, notifying them of the incident. Ian Pryor has two children attending Loudoun schools.
They knew that this controversial bathroom policy that they were trying to pass would get derailed if that news got out.
The superintendent recently apologized, saying he wrongly interpreted the question and does not believe there was any intent to deceive. Yesterday, students walking out in protest saying they did not feel safe in school.
Pretty amazing. And this is NBC. That's a segment that was on NBC. Lester Holt last evening, as you heard there at the top of the segment, he set it up. And they actually do a pretty good job of summarizing what's happened there in the last few months, bringing it right up to date with the students walking out of school just the other day. I guess that would be Tuesday now. The judge's ruling on Monday. This predator guilty to try to cover all of this up. Only a heartless monster could do something such as that. Only a heartless monster could dismiss it as, well, it's just phony right-wing outrage. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We're so glad that you joined us for today's show. You can get to the program at our website, whether you watch it live or on demand later. Just go to thetrumpet.com, thetrumpet.com/live, and that'll take you right to the live stream page. So on yesterday's show, I played that clip from Barack Obama from over the weekend, last weekend, and then also what Tucker Carlson said in response to it on his show the other night. Let me just begin by reading to you what my father wrote in November of 2020. So this goes back almost a year. Treason in America and Britain. That's the Trumpet article. It says here, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton surely do not want us to know what they were conspiring to do before, during, and after the 2016 presidential election to undermine American democracy. It says, but I believe God made sure this information was exposed. So we've talked a lot about Satan and his attempt to blot out even the name of Israel. But together with that, as my father says in articles that talk about prophecies like that, the one in 2 Kings 14, he also refers to God exposing these satanic acts. God exposing this communist attack, the communist infiltration. It says here still, and again, he's talking about the attack on Donald Trump's presidency before even 2016. It says, still, considering the dangers to our nation, it's appalling how little interest the press and the public have in it. And so for 4 years, two sham impeachments, all the attacks, the spying, ruining people's lives like General Flynn. And as my father says there, it's really shocking that that more people didn't pay attention or didn't seem interested in all of this lawless behavior in weaponizing these government agencies. It's like General Flynn said recently. I think it was an interview with Tucker Carlson where he talked about the two governments. You've got the one that's elected, or in the case of the current one in the United States, the illegitimate one that stole the election. And then you've got the deep state. You've got all these massive government agencies, bureaucrats, filling those posts for decades. And they have a lot of power. And look at how they use that power. Look at how the DOJ used the power to go after parents. Just a month or two ago. The difference now, though, is that more people are paying attention. That segment that I played for you just a moment ago, that wasn't Fox News. That was NBC. Barack Obama was just in Virginia basically saying, look, there, nothing's happened. The school board, they're just there to help save, to help protect our children. And then a few days later on Lester Holt's NBC Nightly News, you get a pretty good summary of all that's happened. The outrage coming from parents who are speaking up, who are now showing up at school board meetings when in the past they never did. You've got school board meetings that are just packed all over the country. Listen again to what Barack Obama said last weekend, clip three.
We don't have time to be wasting on these phony, trumped-up culture wars, this fake outrage that the right-wing media peddles to juice their ratings.
And to echo what Tucker said the other night, only a heartless monster would describe the rape of a teenage girl as phony right-wing outrage. Only a monster would say something like that. As I said yesterday, not that long ago, no one in media would have dared say anything like that about Barack Obama. We're supposed to swoon before him. He's like an angel. Well, as you know, an angel of light. That's the way the devil comes. He comes as an angel of light. He doesn't generally bring the warlike rhetoric. And so we've got to look at the deeds. We've got to look at what they're actually doing. Or in this case, look at what they're actually covering up. Here's Tucker Carlson again, just to remind you, clip five.
So Barack Obama, who really is a heartless monster, and I'm glad that's clear to everyone now, described the rape of a child as phony right-wing outrage?
A heartless monster, and I'm glad that's clear to everyone now? You mean everyone's beginning to wake up and see this? I think the tide is shifting here. We're seeing a lot more exposure of these evil, lawless deeds and people who are speaking out against it. My father, again, this is from March of 2020. He says, he's quoting the Second Kings 14 prophecy. He says, Antiochus has one goal, to blot out the name of Israel or the plan God has for Israel. It says further on, we, speaking of God's church, we have to expose that Antiochus and what he did within the country and in foreign policy. Listen to this. It says, he went around apologizing. This is speaking of Obama. He went around apologizing for America's mistakes and terrible past. He depleted and weakened the military to a dangerous level. He cozied up to Iran and hated Israel, biblical Judah. America's top ally in the Middle East. He destroyed America's alliance with Egypt by aiding and overthrowing Hosni Mubarak, a friend of Israel and America, it says, and promoting the Muslim Brotherhood terrorists. He let China take over the South China Sea. He opened wide the southern border so gangs, criminals, and sickness could pour into the country. I mean, this sounds very familiar, given what's happened in the last 10 months. But this is Barack Obama. And we're now seeing his third term. And people are looking around going, what is happening to our country? They should have been doing this back in 2009 and 2010, as my father brings out. They should have been crying aloud when they were attacking Donald Trump and General Flynn and anyone associated with Donald Trump. But so much weakness, so little courage. You had senators yesterday speaking out, speaking as strongly as maybe they have in their careers, because they know that the anger is visceral. They know that the outrage is real. They know what's happening at school boards all over the country, in their states, the states they represent, among their constituents. You're beginning to see some boldness. You're beginning to see some courage. And no wonder. I mean, if your everyday Democrat sits down last night to watch Lester Holt's NBC Nightly News, well, they're getting a pretty good summary of why there's so many people packed into the Loudoun County school board meetings. And all these parents on Tuesday night pointing to the school board members, you need to be fired. You need to step down. What a disgrace, they say. My father said he was destroying Israel, yet half the people at least never saw it. See, he was destroying Israel, and yet half the country, they still were swooning. Well, now you've got a prominent commentator, the most popular one on the nightly cable news circuit, saying that I'm glad everyone now realizes and understands that Barack Obama is a heartless monster. Wow. Listen to Barack Obama, again, stumping from last weekend, clip 4.
Instead of stoking anger aimed at school boards and administrators who are just trying to keep our kids safe, who are just doing their jobs, stoking anger to the point where some of them are actually getting death threats, we should be making it easier for teachers and schools to give our kids the world-class education they deserve and to do so safely while they're in the classroom.
Yeah, and the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, he was asked yesterday about all this supposed violence and the death threats, and he basically just refers to news reports. No actual incidents. Just news reports. And as some of the senators pointed out, all of these so-called examples, the vast majority of them, they're just, you know, nonviolent. Just insulting someone. You're going to unleash the DOJ on parents who are angry? Like the father of that girl who was raped? Yes, that's what's happened. But, you know, Obama says what he says last weekend. And, you know, he would go home, I would assume, thinking that, well, at least NBC's going to cover for me. At least NBC's not going to get the truth out about this rape. Well, NBC actually did. And played some clips. Played a clip from the superintendent of Loudoun County Schools. Lying! Saying there was no incident in the bathroom. Why? Well, he's got to get those controversial bathroom policies through to make sure transgenders can get into the girls' restrooms. And so they covered up. They actually covered up a rape. A rape of a teenage girl. So there's Obama talking about the phony outrage. There he is talking about how that school boards and administrators, they're just trying to keep the kids safe. Well, here again, Listen to this report from NBC. This is NBC, clip six.
President Obama stumping for Democrat Terry McAuliffe.
We don't have time to be wasting on these phony, trumped-up culture wars. This fake outrage.
Do you think this is a politically motivated minority?
What I've seen is that parents, they go out there, you know, they're fired up. They're defending their kids.
They're fired up. They're defending their children. It's the parents. See, it's the parents who are trying to protect the kids. In a lot of cases, it's too little, too late. I mean, look at the madness happening in schools today. These out of Kentucky, these sex dances between children, male and female, and school administrators going on in Kentucky. Then the bathroom, the transgenders going into bathrooms. I mean, there's just things. There was a man up, I think this was in Florida, he stood up in front of the school board and he just started reading from this pornographic book. And the school board's shut him down. You can't bring that into this meeting. He says, the book I'm reading is from your library that my students go to. My children, I should say. He was quoting a pornographic text out of the school library to make a point. You're putting this in our children's school library. I heard one commentator just this morning say, we're in Sodom and Gomorrah. He's completely right. Completely right. You had Lot basically bolting his doors down for fear. He was afraid for his family's safety because the evil, the filth, the violence, it just permeated every aspect of that society. It was so bad, God had to just rain fire from heaven. Out of his love and mercy, those people will have a chance in the second resurrection to learn God's way. Jesus even said, you know, they're going to turn to repentance quicker than some of the Pharisees he encountered in the first century. But what a rotten and filthy society. Lot and his family, they had to flee. They had to get out of there. That's coming for God's people as well. I mean, look at the world around us. Look at our nations. Look at our schools. It's so bad. This superintendent that covered up the rape, he should be in prison. These people on the FDA board, as I said yesterday, they should be in jail. Experimenting on 5-year-old children? Well, one of them admitted as much. We don't even know how safe this is going to be. We won't find out until after we start using it. So start using it. Say 17 of them. 17 to zero? Is this for real? Yeah, that's for real. Parents are finally opening their eyes to some of the things happening in their school district. And they're speaking out for the first time in some cases. Listen to this concerned father, clip two.
This is my first time speaking at a school board meeting, but I can no longer remain silent. I have 4 young daughters, the oldest of which just entered Loudoun County Public Schools. I'm extremely concerned about the sexual assaults which occurred. A school should be a safe place for children to come, not a place for the highest levels of leadership of the school district to cover up what happens in the district. Let me get this straight. A high school student sexually assaults another student, and the penalty is to move him to another school with an ankle brace. That's lunacy. What is also lunacy is lying to the victim's father in a public meeting about it, and then he's the one that gets in trouble. That is calling good evil and evil good. Your policies are contributing to creating an unsafe environment in the schools. I do not want boys in my daughter's bathrooms. I do not want boys on my daughter's sports teams. How can I, as a father, trust you as a superintendent and you as a school board to keep my daughter safe at school? Why would I want to entrust you with all of our daughters once they become school age? The answer is I can't. Dr. Ziegler, I ask you to resign, and all the board members, I ask you to resign as well.
Well, there you go. Is he a domestic terrorist? That's a concerned father who's saying you're calling evil good and you're calling good evil. What did the prophet Isaiah said? Woe unto them who do this, who call good evil and evil good. You should resign in disgrace. We're hearing a lot of it. We heard it yesterday. A couple of the senators telling Merrick Garland, you should be ashamed. You should resign. Listen to this exchange between Senator Tom Cotton and the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, clip 12.
That refers to Scott Smith, whose 15-year-old daughter was raped. She was raped in a bathroom by a boy wearing girls' clothes, and the Loudoun County School Board covered it up because it would have interfered with their transgendered policy during Pride Month. And that man, Scott Smith, because he went to a school board and tried to defend his daughter's rights, was condemned internationally. Do you apologize to Scott Smith and his 15-year-old daughter, Judge?
Senator, anyone who's child was raped as is the most horrific crime I can imagine, and is certainly entitled and protected by the First Amendment to protest to their school board about that.
But he was cited by the School Board Association as a domestic terrorist, which we now know that letter and those reports were the basis for your
judgment. No, Senator, that's wrong, shameful.
Judge, this is shameful. This testimony, your directive, your performance is shameful.
Okay. That's not.
Thank God you are not on the Supreme Court. You should resign in disgrace, Judge.
That's just yesterday. There's some senators now and congressmen as well talking with a little bit more of a backbone than they were months ago, than they were during the steal, than they were during the attack on the Trump presidency, the illegal spying. I mean, some spoke out, but just words in so many cases. You should resign in disgrace. He should. He should be in jail. Here, this case, the actual case of this father, that's what this so-called school board association was so concerned about, was the dad. Not the rape. The dad. So they come forward working with the White House. Yeah, that's Ted Cruz and others laid it out. How they unleashed the DOJ. How they weaponized the DOJ to go after parents because Barack Obama, he says that the problem is the parents. The school boards are righteous. They're just trying to protect the kids. It's the parents who are dangerous. Listen to Ted Cruz as he explained how this came about, the DOJ, that is, going after mom and dad, clip 13.
For 8 years under Barack Obama, the Department of Justice was politicized and weaponized. When you came before this committee in your confirmation hearing, you promised things would be different. There is a difference between law and politics. And General Garland, you know the difference between law and politics. Law is based on facts. It is impartial. It is not used as a tool of political retribution. This memo was not law. This memo was politics.
That memo is what unleashed the DOJ. That's why they're looking at these board meetings, not examining what the board is covering up. They're watching what the parents say. Even words. You got to be careful if you're a parent. Listen again to Ted Cruz, clip 14.
On Wednesday, September 29th, the National School Board Association wrote a letter to the president asking the president to use the Department of Justice to target parents that were upset at critical race theory, that were upset at mask mandates in schools, to target them as domestic terrorists. On the face of the letter was in repeated consultation with the White House, in explicit political consultation with the White House. That was on Wednesday, September 29th. 5 days later, on Monday, so right after the weekend, boom, you pop out a memo giving them exactly what they want.
See, the School Board Association, they were working together with the White House. And so if it's the White House, it's not Joe Biden, it's Barack Obama. We've got to go after the domestic terrorists in our midst. And that would be these parents who are against critical race theory or mask mandates or transgender policies that allow boys to go into the girls' restrooms. Barack Obama was the one who was behind this. And then, like Ted Cruz says there, it didn't take but a few days, and out comes the memo from Merrick Garland. And he says to parents, we're coming after you. And to listen to Garland yesterday, just kind of dance around. In another era, again, you just resign in disgrace and move on. Not today. The School Board Association has come out and denounced what they said. They have said, this memo, look, we got it wrong. We apologize. But not Merrick Garland. Not Barack Obama. Did Barack Obama apologize for just dismissing this rape case as phony outrage? Of course not. He's not going to apologize. He's an angel of light. But when you lose NBC News, when you lose some of your allies in the legacy media, well, to me, that suggests that more and more people are waking to what's happening. I got into the unrealized capital gains a few days ago, a few programs ago. Janet Yellen, that clip from her, how that they want to go for, I mean, if you've got a, I have a tweet here. This is someone who commented on this. I mean, this has never before been done. This kind of tax, just to go after your wealth, unrealized wealth. Says here, Janet Yellen just proposed a tax on unrealized capital gains. For those who don't know, that means if you buy a stock for $1,000 and it goes up to $5,000 and then back to $1,000, you owe taxes on the $4,000 profit that you never made. The concept will literally bankrupt people. You have a stock and stocks go up and down. If it happens to go up when Uncle Sam comes knocking, well, you got to pay some tax on that increase because it's increasing in value. Well, what if the value goes down the month after you're taxed? Is the government going to refund the money? Of course not. But the point of it is that I'll add to some of the others we've made thus far is even, Sam noted this, the Washington Post notes how unconstitutional this is. I mean, that's owned by Jeff Bezos. He's the Amazon guy. He doesn't want his billions taken away because of, little ups and downs, and the government's there just rubbing its hands together. We're going to get you. If it goes up, we're going to get you. What if we don't have the money on hand to pay for it? Well, sell it then. Sell the asset. Sell your property and pay up. That's the thinking. So what does it say when the Washington Post comes out and says, this is not constitutional. This is actually communism. What does it say in the Communist Manifesto? In this sense, the theory of the communists may be summed up in the single sentence, abolition of private property. That's what they want. Everyone dependent on the government. No private property owners. Just wipe out the middle class. Wipe out the property owners. That's where that this would go. And then you see, again, these are just a couple of examples, but look at the way the major media is reporting on the border crisis, the economy. You had a mainstream media just the other day saying that the Thanksgiving meal, this Thanksgiving, it's going to be the most expensive meal in the history of the United States. They're reporting on the out-of-control inflation, the skyrocketing gas prices. No wonder more people are voicing their disapproval. According to Gallup, 33% of Democrats now approve of the job Congress is doing, down from 55% in September. Only 33% approve. In September, it was 55%. That's just a couple of months ago. Trafalgar, a poll, here again. Biden's approval drops to a new low, 39.2%. He's at 58.4% disapproval. Only 32% of independents approve of Joe Biden. So his approval rating is plummeting. Kamala Harris, nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be seen. I guess they're maybe putting her in the basement in the meantime to shield her. She's incredibly unpopular as it is. But it's like she's the invisible vice president. It says here, this is CNN. While most presidents have prioritized taking time away from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, this is a CNN article about how much time Joe Biden spends away from the White House. He's taken 35 personal trips in less than 1 year. He's the current occupant, illegitimate, but he's the current occupant of the White House. And he's taken 35 personal trips to Delaware, Camp David, and elsewhere. This is from CNN. He spent 108 days of his first 276 days in office at one of his multiple homes in Delaware or at Camp David. CNN says this is the most time a president has spent away from the White House on personal travel at this point in the presidency in recent history. That's CNN commenting on this. Politico, and this is left-wing, Politico polled 2,000 U.S. voters. 35% of Americans believe the 2020 election should be overturned. 35, this is from Politico, not Rasmussen. So you know how they generally get it low when it comes to anything that would seem supportive of Donald Trump or conservatives. But even at Politico, 35%, that's over a third of America, says the result from last November should be overturned. It's incredible. Here's some of the questions they posed at the Politico poll or survey. Do you approve or disapprove of the job Joe Biden is doing as president? 46% approve, 51% disapprove, 39% strongly disapprove. As far as you know, do you believe the 2020 presidential election was free and fair? 56% said yes, but 37% said no, it wasn't free and fair. Thinking of the November 2022 midterm elections for U.S. Congress, would you vote for a candidate who believes the results of the 2020 presidential election should be investigated? 48% said, yes, I would. That's America waking up. At least waking up to the communist infiltration. As to what would be done about the Sodom and Gomorrah filth. Well, the sickness, as we know, Isaiah 1, the sickness is from head to toe. It really is. You see it in these schools. You see it in the literature that they make the children read. You see it in the policies for bathrooms, for sporting events. Speaking of fraudulent elections, this is out of Delaware. We didn't even know there was any kind of an audit going on in Delaware. But this is from the National File. It says, in Delaware, this is Joe Biden's home state, right? Deep, dark blue state. 1,768 dead voters in Delaware. Little Delaware. 1,768. Nursing homes. They had a huge turnout. In the nursing home community, during the COVID pandemic, they just couldn't wait to vote for Joe Biden, I guess. One case, this is, again, from the National File. One nursing home had 94 total beds, but at least 296 votes were cast from that address. Ho-hum, a little bit of fraud in the election, but let's carry on. Carry on with the next election. Dead voters coming from nursing homes. Well, there's a lot of things happening that people, it seems, are beginning to take note of, and it's disturbing a lot of people. You've got these mandates in place. You've got travel restrictions now being put on us because of the CDC. It's the CDC that's now in charge of international travel. And you got to have this done. You got to have that done. We're coming up, I think it's this week, there's going to be tens of thousands of New York City employees fired because they haven't gotten the jab. I played for you the exchange that Joe Rogan had with Sanjay Gupta. You know, Rogan, he exposed CNN as a liar. He said CNN lies. And you know how many people listen to Joe Rogan's podcast? It's something like 11 million people per show. Russell Brand came out in support of what Joe Rogan exposed. He's got something like 4 to 5 million viewers for his podcast. You may have seen where, I forget the name of the boxer. He's one of the best boxers in history. He came out in support of Kyrie Irving. He's very popular as an NBA player. He won't get the jab. He can't play. He can't play for the Nets. And so protesters trying to break into the Barclays Center because they're upset. But then this boxer who comes out in support of Kyrie, he's got like 8 million viewers or 8 million followers on social media. I mean, then they're both African Americans. That's a lot of people. How many viewers does Chris Cuomo get at night on CNN? He doesn't get the viewers that Joe Rogan does. And so now you've got NBC reporting the nightly news and basically just breaking Barack Obama, crushing Barack Obama. He's not mentioned in that segment I played at the top, but his lie, his big lie told over last weekend was exposed. No, this is not phony outrage. This is real. This is real. Listen to, just to make one more point along these lines, this is the fake Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, talking about how wonderful the Afghanistan withdrawal was. I haven't even mentioned Afghanistan yet. That seems like it was 10 years ago. That was just in August. Listen to Secretary of State Blinken, clip 9.
I want to take a moment here to talk about a major example of where it's absolutely critical that we capture and benefit from lessons learned, and that's Afghanistan. Many of you and your colleagues around the world worked with great intensity to help bring to safety more than 120,000 American citizens, foreign partners, Afghans at risk. It's a remarkable achievement.
A remarkable achievement. He says nothing about the people still stranded and trapped under the Taliban rule in Afghanistan. Yet another big lie. Now, listen to NBC again. This is NBC from just last night, clip 10.
A new warning about the terror threat from Afghanistan. A senior Pentagon official says ISIS-K could regain the ability to attack the U.S. in just 6 months, with U.S. troops now gone from Afghanistan. Inside Afghanistan tonight, the State Department revealing there are 225 Americans still stranded, more than they initially announced. And thousands of Afghans who helped U.S. forces during the 20-year-long war are still desperate to get out.
Thousands desperate to get out. 225 Americans still stranded? More than was initially announced? There's NBC again dropping another truth bomb on top of the State Department, right on top of the White House, right on top of the Joe Obama administration. My father wrote, this is from January of last year, America has been fundamentally transformed. He said, America's current president, Donald Trump, is fighting back against the radicalism and having some success. Perhaps the most important is the way he is exposing the crimes and the evils of the radical left. Because of the progress he's making, many people believe that the danger is past and the nation is heading in a new direction. This was, of course, in the last year of the Trump presidency. And so there was this sense of security. Well, at least he's exposing these radicals, these evil communists. It says, but sadly, this will not change the country's direction. The only thing that would do that is repentance before God, and that's not happening. Now, listen to this, though. It says, Barack Obama was also an admirer of Saul Alinsky, the infamous Rules for Radicals author, yet a lot of Obama's beliefs were unknown before he was elected because the mainstream media didn't vet him. The press has a lot to answer for in the way they abetted this man and his ambitions. They covered it all up. They just worshiped him. They swooned. Glenn Beck on the right, a conservative, he says what Obama said here, such and such, it's racist. And then he has to apologize the next day. I mean, they went after Glenn Beck. Now you have the most popular presenter on cable news calling Barack Obama a heartless monster. And he's right. Tucker's right. My father says this. In fact, the radical left has become so emboldened. This was last January, 2020. They've become so emboldened by almost a decade of victories under the Obama administration that many of today's Democrats are no longer willing to accept Obama's deceptive strategy. If their efforts to stop President Trump don't succeed, they want a socialist revolution in the streets. You see, they've abandoned the more deceptive strategy. The gloves are off. They've revealed their true colors. And now more and more of America knows it. Parents know it. They see it. And the radical left, they don't quite know how to respond or to how to react to an enemy that suddenly is fighting back. Suddenly they're saying, you should resign in disgrace. They're not used to hearing that because they've had a string of victories that goes back to 2008, back when Barack Obama said, remember the statement, he vowed to fundamentally transform the United States of America. We're seeing that transformation, and God is exposing it. He's exposing it. It's there for all to see. When we come back, we'll return to our study about the importance of the God-ordained role of the Father. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
So earlier this week we were talking about the role of the father and just how important that is. I remember that clip coming out of Louisiana, those dads that took matters into their own hands and showed up at a high school and said, hey, the violence, the fighting, the criminal activity, it's going to stop. And they stopped it. They stopped. Just their mere presence in the school brought a certain authority to that school. And the children, the teenagers, respected it. Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the eternal God gives you. Honor God above all else, That's the first and great commandment. And then the second one is like unto it. Jesus said this in Matthew 22. It's love your neighbor, love fellow man as yourself. And the bridge between these two great commands, as they're called in Matthew 22, the bridge commandment, those commands, of course, are subdivided into the Ten Commandments. The first four showing love toward God, the last six showing love toward fellow man. But the bridge, really, between those two great commandments is this fifth commandment here. Honor your father and your mother. The word honor means reverence or promote. It means to have deferential respect for that authority, just like you would for a king or a dignitary of some kind. In the Ten Commandments booklet, it says the first commandment requires mankind to give honor to God's high office of authority as creator. The fifth commandment requires all men to honor the highest human office, that of parents. This commandment then forms the bridge between the two great sections of God's law. We will never again attain true spiritual and physical success without giving honor and obedience to God. Do we see the same is true of our human parents? You see, every school board, every superintendent should welcome parental involvement at school with open arms. Of course we want the parents involved. The parents are to be honored. The parents ought to be revered. That's what the Word of God says. That's not the way a communist thinks, however. To a communist who studied Saul Alinsky, a communist who's gone through the rules of the radicals, a communist who was brought up under the leadership, the teaching of Frank Marshall Davis. To a good communist, you see, you got to get rid of the parents, or at least get rid of their influence. You've got to sever that connection between children and parents. I read you that Washington Post piece just the other day. I mean, they state it out in the open now. And then they wonder why it's a nip and tuck race in a dark blue state. People are waking up. My father says this, the main thing that you want to be able to teach them is to honor the father. The father's the head. That's God's way, and it always will be as long as there are families. The main thing that you want to be able to teach them, children, is to honor the father. I mean, if it's God's school, these are obviously not God's schools that you're seeing. That's why there's so much fighting and contention. But at God's school, well, like on this campus, we tell our young people about this commandment. We went through it just the other day in doctrines class. Honor your parents. Honor the father. Honor, and if you do, you'll have a long and blessed life. This is God's way, as my father said, and it always will be as long as there are families. God is a family. Notice what it says over in Isaiah 1. It says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, verse 2 says, and give ear, O earth, for the Eternal hath spoken. He says, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. See, that's the problem with our nations, is we've rebelled against the Father. God says in verse 2, I have nourished and brought up children, and they've rebelled against the Father. You see this? God calls us his children. And yet how many people look at God, and he's just some kind of vague, ethereal kind of being, if they even believe in him at all. But like Mr. Armstrong said in Mystery of the Ages, for most people, God just doesn't seem real. And that's the way Satan wants it. He doesn't want these kids at Loudoun County schools to see their own parents, their own flesh and blood parents, as real. He wants to create as much distance between parents and children as possible, because that way he gets control over the younger generation. He can bring them into the school. He can start feeding them pornographic text, and he's got them. Mr. Armstrong said in chapter one of his book, Mystery of the Ages, look, my objective in this chapter is to make God real to you, to make the Father real, because he ought to be honored and respected above all else. This is God's plan. This is the way it always is with God. This is the way it will always be with his family. God is a family. Verse 3, it says, the ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider the cows in the streets of India, as Mr. Armstrong explained in chapter 1. They know their way back to the farm or to their owner, and yet God's own children, they can't find their way back to God, their maker, their creator. What a great tragedy this is. How real is God the Father? I mean, we all want to think about honoring the father and the mother in the physical family, for sure. It's the bridge commandment. But it bridges us to what? It bridges us to the Father and obeying and honoring the Heavenly Father. That's what God wants for all of us, all of mankind. Notice John 8, the Gospel of John. Beginning in verse 38, it says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. This is Christ speaking. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Uh-oh, where's he going with this? They answered and said unto him, these Pharisees, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. A man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Well, you're not acting like Abraham. You're bragging about your heritage. You're bragging about your forebears. You're bragging about how loving and kind you are, even as you plot and scheme to kill, to murder. It says, you do the deeds of your father. And then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. We're not illegitimate. In fact, they were. Christ was the Son of God the Father. And they rejected him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to crucify him. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. See, Christ, he answers back and says, no, I do have a father. I have a father in heaven. God, you see, is a father. He's our father. And he right now, he's actively in the process of begetting and bringing along literal sons into his divine family, to be born of God as God is God. Read the exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus in John 3. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, Jesus said. That's where this begettal is leading. If we can receive of God's Spirit today and submit to it and be led by it and use it and grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it leads us right to our literal birth into the family of God. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit any feedback, just write us, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.